This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Portland Alliance, the city's oldest alternative progressive newspaper, reporting on issues ignored or distorted by corporate-dominated media and providing a voice for social justice, activists, environmentalists, trade unionists, and the progressive community. Information at 503-239-4991 or theportlandalliance.org. Stay tuned now for Press Watch.
Good morning, it's 9:03, you're listening to KBOO Portland. KBOO, your people-supported free radio station in Cascadia. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, she was done for the day, and at the end of her week, if I heard it right, she was on her way home and not far from home, somewhere in Multnomah County. She saw a man gesturing for a ride. She's feeling generous. She pulled over and let him in. He held a knife to her throat. It was still cold enough for jackets and heaters. Early May, lows dropped into the 30s. She was not intended to survive. She was left alone in the dark. An unexpected car drove by. He left and told her not to make a sound or he'd kill her. Her body had been horribly abused, and she was tied hand and foot, stripped, exhausted, terrified, slowly succumbing to exposure, unable to feel her feet. It's a too common story, you're thinking, but she escaped and stumbled on failing, freezing legs as her blood dripped from her body. She eventually struggled to a roadside to call for help. She didn't want to go to the police. A friend grieving over her condition called the sheriff's department anyway, and they came to her home as she attempted to clean up and recover. Still shaking, she gave them some of the evidence from inside her own body. Then they turned on her. They suggested she had made it all up. They threatened to prosecute her for planting evidence. The sheriff's men implied she had brought it on herself. They turned her survival into a new ordeal, according to what she told me. A sad story from the 1950s, 60s, maybe, but this story is from this place and time, and the victim is not allowed to seek justice because she's transsexual. Male to female transsexuals, like me, are, as everyone knows, just perverts who mutilate their bodies just to get kicks from sex with men. Don't have the guts just to be gay, you see. In this liberal environment, it's not PC to say it out loud because of loud and powerful gays in the press and the entertainment industry, or that's what I hear. But everyone knows that really trannies are just sickos. It's disgusting. It's really just too much. Trannies, we're a sign of the end times. Rome fell because of people like us. That's what I hear. We make a sickening lifestyle choice for fun, then we whine when we get what we deserve. We do it just to sneak into women's restrooms and peek in the stalls. We do it because a demon possessed our bodies when we strayed from the true path. We do it because we hate women so much that we change our own bodies just to possess, to own a woman, body and soul. That's how foul we are. Everybody knows this, so it must be true. And we want special rights. I want special rights. I want the right to be treated as another human being. Rape is too good for us, it seems, and it's a good thing the Multnomah County Sheriff's Department is on top of it, or that's what I've heard. This is Press Watch. It's 9:06. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This just in, the Supreme Court has ruled against Bush on the Guantanamo tribunals. This is Raw Story's take on it. The United States Supreme Court has ruled that President George Bush overstepped his authority in denying terror war detainees civilian trials. The court has ruled that U.S. detainees classified by the Bush administration as enemy combatants cannot be considered exempt from the Geneva Convention. The administration had attempted to argue that the combatants had no rights under U.S. or international law, or that only certain rights under each applied. The Supreme Court disagreed. The trials have been challenged by Salim Ahmed Hamdan, former bodyguard and limo driver for Osama bin Laden. Hamdan has been held at Guantanamo Bay for 4 years, eventually being charged with conspiracy. The court pointed out that there is no international law against conspiracy. The ruling is not likely to result in the release of Hamdan or other Guantanamo prisoners. In fact, it may result in longer detentions while the U.S. attempts to put another system into place. The 5-3 decision overturns a lower court ruling in the government's favor by Chief Justice and Bush appointee John Roberts. Roberts did not participate in the decision. A complete overhaul of the system for Guantanamo Bay detainee trials is now expected. Now, here's Reuters' take on it. In a major blow for President George W. Bush's war on terrorism, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled today, Thursday, that the military tribunal system set up to try Guantanamo prisoners violates the Geneva Conventions and U.S. military rules. Quote, we conclude that the military commission convened to try Salim Ahmed Hamdan lacks power to proceed because its structure and procedures violate the international agreement that covers treatment of prisoners of war, as well as U.S. military rules. That's Justice John Paul Stevens writing for the court majority in the 5-3 decision. That part of the decision was a stinging blow for the administration in a case brought by Hamdan. Okay, so you can find that raw story or pull up Reuters, and you can pull it up. Another news story. 11 Sunni insurgent groups have offered an immediate halt to all attacks, including those on American troops, if the U.S. agrees to withdraw foreign forces from Iraq in 2 years, insurgent and government officials told the Associated Press yesterday. Withdrawal is the centerpiece of a set of demands from the groups, which operate north of Baghdad in the heavily Sunni Arab provinces of Saladin and Diyala. Although much of the fighting has been to the west, these provinces are increasingly violent, and attacks there have crippled oil and commerce routes. And as I was saying last week, the U.S. is losing its war of occupation on Iraq. Well, it's just an occupation, really, I suppose, at this point. Changing topics slightly once again, numerous conservative media figures, according to MediaMatters.org, have lashed out at the New York Times and its executive editor, Bill Keller, over an article describing a secret Bush administration program designed to monitor international financial transactions, arguing that publication of the article was a treasonous act and suggesting the newspaper is siding with Al-Qaeda and aiding and abetting the terrorist movement. I'll just stop right now. How hysterical is that? The gray lady, New York Times, is siding with Al-Qaeda. Yeah, yeah, they're saying that. And I have more details. In the wake of a June 23rd New York Times article describing a secret Bush administration program designed to monitor international financial transactions, numerous conservative media figures have lashed out at the newspaper and its executive editor, Bill Keller, arguing that the publication of the article was a treasonous act and suggesting that the newspaper is siding with Al-Qaeda, aiding and abetting the terrorist movement, and prepared to cripple America in order to go after the president. Those quotes. Conservatives have directed their vitriol almost entirely at the New York Times, despite the fact that the LA Times, the Wall Street Journal, also posted articles on the subject on their web pages on the same day as the New York Times, it was June 22nd, and both published articles in their June 23rd print editions. The question of whether the June 23rd article, as well as the Times' prior disclosure of the administration's warrantless domestic surveillance program, represented acts of treason or qualified as violations of the Espionage Act, 1918, has been the topic of numerous discussions on the cable news networks in recent days. The debates have taken place under banners such as, did media aid abet enemy? And are scoops more important to media than stopping terror? On the June 26th edition of MSNBC's Scarborough Country, host Joe Scarborough asked his viewers to take part in an online poll asking, should the New York Times be prosecuted for publishing stories revealing secret information about the war on terror? Are they guilty of treason? This is from MediaMatters.org. If you have comments on this developing situation, the number to call is 503-231-8187, 503 area code, 231-8187. You know, I hope to get with the times and set up, what do you call it? I'm so not with the times, I have to think about what the word is. One of the things I'd like to set up is a chat room so that we can get messages into the studio as people text message. Golly, I can't think of the word. Well, anyway, here's some examples from MediaMatters.org. Melanie Morgan, radio's talk show host, said, I see it as treason plain and simple, and my advice to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez at this point in time is chop, chop, hurry up. Let's get those prosecutors fired up and get the subpoenas served, get the indictments going, and get those guys behind jail. I guess she means behind bars. They're talking about the New York Times. They're talking about prosecuting the New York Times for doing their job, printing a story of this vast, unconstitutional, illegal spying program, just one aspect of the tremendous, unprecedented spying that the Bush administration has been doing. I mean, when I look at the whole picture, what I'm seeing is, I mean, especially after the exposure of Dictionary Echelon, and that precedes the Bush administration, not just the interception of vast amounts of data, but the cyber analysis of that data, and ineluctably, the creation of a new political criminal class. Anyone who, just following the attitudes and the historic gestures of this administration, anyone who crosses them is getting put in a little box, a little computer file, and identified. And let's see what Ann Coulter has to say about it. No, that's not. William Crystal, I think the Bush Department has an obligation to consider prosecution. This isn't a partisan thing of the Bush administration. This is a U.S. government secret program in a time of war, willfully exposed for no good reason by the New York Times, editor of the Weekly Standard. And, of course, he was on Faux News Sunday on the 25th. I have a caller number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, that's you.
Am I on?
You're on.
Oh, that delay really screws me up.
Well, listen to the phone.
What's that?
Listen to the phone, turn down the radio, or it really will confuse you.
Hey, yeah, I got two questions. First question, my second question is about Iraq. My first question is, what was your relationship with your dad like?
My relationship with my dad?
Yeah.
Well, it's been long and complex, but it's wonderful now. Why?
What's that?
It's been long and complex, but it's wonderful now. Why?
Did you get along with him?
Yeah.
Was he in your life?
Sure.
Is he still in your part of your life?
Absolutely. He's a wonderful man.
Okay, that's wonderful. How about your mom?
The same.
Well, are they married?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good. Well, what's their opinion of your lifestyle?
My lifestyle? Well, they're a little concerned that my mortgage is 100% financed, and I probably don't pay enough attention to
your lifestyle to change changing your sex and all that.
Is that a lifestyle?
What's that?
Is that a lifestyle?
Yeah, it is.
How do you figure?
Well, that's a lifestyle you've chosen. God created you as a man, and you've gone ahead and changed that. So that's a lifestyle change.
Oh, no, let's not drag God into this. Otherwise, you have to blame God for creating me as an androgyne.
As a what? No, that's not true. Anyway,
I'm sorry, that is true.
Question,
that's medically, factually, and provably true. There's no way around it. You have to blame your God. What was your God thinking giving me a uterus?
My second question is God. Not God, but Iraq. You seem to really put down the United States all the time and lift up Iraq.
Did I lift up Iraq?
Oh, yeah.
Did I say one good thing about him?
Behind Iraq. And you know what? I think if you took your lifestyle to Iraq, they'd probably end up stoning you.
Well, you know, there's some chimps on the east side who would do that as well.
What's that?
I said there are some chimps on the east side who would do that as well.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And your point?
My point is, why don't you, if Iraq is so great and America is so terrible, why don't you move to Iraq?
That's a straw man argument, very typical of conservative pundits as well. You picked it up very well from them. The straw man is that I run down America and pick up Iraq. Of course, that is patently untrue, and we can't get past that.
Well, you're suspicious, too. I mean, you talk about the New York Times being treasonous. And in fact, it is treasonous, and I think what you spew on the radio is seditious and treasonous.
But you know, I think the Bush administration undertaking a coup, stealing the vote, and going to war on the basis of a lie
is the
most treasonous thing that has happened to this country.
He's freed a wonderful people. The Iraqi people are wonderful, and he's freed them from evil.
They're radioactive or dead. You call that freedom?
He's freed them from an evil people such as you are.
I see. Okay, now we're more to the point.
God.
Okay, well, let's just part on that. I don't believe that I'm essentially evil. And I'll just go to the next caller, 503-231-8187. What the heck, since we're getting right-wing pundits on. We'll quote Ann Coulter, revealing a classified program, she says, which no one thinks violates any laws, has led to the capture of various terrorists and to various terrorist money laundering operations. If that's not treason, then we're not prosecuting anymore. And she wasn't talking about Cheney, Libby, and Rove exposing the ambassador's wife, Plame, just to get back at him for telling the truth about the lies of the Iraq War that the Bush administration was promoting. He was talking, I mean, she was talking about the New York Times revealing the classified program of spying on financial records. So that's just how backwards she is. And there's more on that, but you can find that at MediaMatters.org. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, my dear. How are you?
Pretty well, thanks.
I will. First, I must say that the slip of the tongue to call Ann Coulter he was perhaps somewhat appropriate. Nonetheless, I will not be a boob and take you to task on any personal matter of your own. I am a strictly libertarian. However, look at the recent Supreme Court decisions. One by one, we've got two, three in a row that are basically raising the bar for the suppression of evidence. This is a highly concerning thing. This could be devastating in a deeper way, to the point, the end result of saying, no, we can't suppress evidence. In other words, saying, oh, well, no, you can't suppress that evidence. No, you can't suppress that evidence. All evidence must be let in. The end of that is planting evidence and then using that or hearsay evidence like they're doing in Guantanamo, et cetera. And I think it's a slippery, dangerous slope we're on when the court says, well, there's no time when you cannot or when you can suppress evidence. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, and I quite agree. And yeah. this fascist slide is not surprising in view
so
as bad
of
the appointments.
On an international scale, they're bad right here in our own courthouses.
You know, I have to ask, too, how legitimate are justices appointed by a regime that stole the elections?
We go on for days.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. Number call 503-231-8187. Now, this situation where the New York Times is being called treasonous and prosecution is being threatened against them under the the Dusty Espionage Act is an attempt to obscure the disaster of Bushist foreign and domestic policies. And, of course, it's also an attempt to push the nation farther into right-wing fascist ideology. I have a few of the Republican tactics that we can expect to see coming up in the next weeks, months, and years. And Republicans have printed it on their own talking points. Of course, we know about the Pledge Protection Act. It protects the Pledge of Allegiance from attacks by activist federal judges seeking to rule it unconstitutional. So if you're worried about the Pledge of Allegiance, well, H.R. 2389 is going to seek to address that. Now, this is a big one. The Freedom to Display the American Flag Act ensures an individual has the right to display the U.S. flag on residential property. Now, we all know this is a terrible problem. In the instant you go out to that little slot on your porch to put your flag in, well, there's just a horde of Hollywood liberals from the Film Actors Guild trying to tear the flag down. No, that's ridiculous. There's even more. I realize there's some people holding right now who would like to speak, and I'll be right with you. The Public Expression of Religion Act, that's H.R. 2679. I wish I was making this stuff up. It's like a satire, but it ain't. It ensures local officials and communities do not face financial ruin to defend their rights to free speech under the Constitution, or in other words, provides that when state or local officials are sued under public expressions of religion, no monetary damages, costs, or attorney's fees may be awarded, or in other words, it's okay to use your publicly elected platform as a theocratic soapbox. And now we're going to have the Public Expression of Religion Act to protect that, H.R. 2679. Of course, there's the Marriage Amendment, the Smear the Queers Amendment. That's H.J. Resolution 88, Musgrave. Constitution, not resolution, R.E.S., let's see. Well, it's a constitutional amendment declaring marriage to be between a man and a woman. The Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act, it gets silly. The Human Cloning Prohibition Act, the... Oh, there's so much more of it. You think it's been silly so far? It's just going to get, well, sillier and more fascist. But the number call, 503-231-8187. And hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I can remember that going back several years, the government has been talking about tracking international financial records as it pertains to terrorism. Paul O'Neill was talking about that when he was Secretary of Treasury. This is nothing new. This is something that's been going on for years, and to demonize the New York Times or any other news agency over this, I think is just more of the fascism that is among us. And for the right-wing caller that came up to personally attack you, I certainly wish that someone would wash his mouth out in a toilet. The man is filth.
Well, I don't feel like he's filth. I feel like he's been taken in by this this propaganda, and along with the propaganda, along with the facts, is the sort of bullying attitude that's been well propagated by the Bush administration, and people are picking up on that as well. And it's a loyalist sort of attitude. It's like, don't confuse me with the facts. I just want to keep on this side. I want to keep with this crowd. I want to keep with what I know because it feels safe. You know, it goes along with their policy of creating fear. And it's been very effective. And so I was actually glad to get a call from him for that reason. And, you know, I do this for fun, and that was fun. So it's okay, really.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the job you're doing.
Thank you for calling in. Let me give you more details on the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act. No, I'm not making it up. Okay, it requires that those performing late-term abortions inform the woman seeking an abortion of the medical evidence that the unborn child feels pain, and ensure that if she chooses to continue with the abortion procedure, she has the option of choosing anesthesia for the child so that the unborn child's pain is less severe. God. I don't know where to start. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air. I thought you were on the air. Let's try again. Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, what you got to say?
Oh, I just wanted to talk about the idiot Christian caller again. I don't think he knew that you were born with both parts because your mom had...
Well, I told him, but he's not willing to accept it. And I found that before, people aren't really willing. I mean, I'm not the only person who is like this.
Right. Because she was on some type of medication while you were in her belly?
Yeah, she was dosed with she really got a huge dose of diethylstilbestrol, which is an artificial estrogen which crosses placental and brain boundaries.
And, well, as a hetero, I still think you're a good news reporter, so.
Well, thank you very much.
Take care.
I'll take what I can get. Okay, 9:25, and so we should wrap it up pretty soon. Had a little information on... bird flu, but maybe we'll get to that next week. And the number to call, 503-231-8187. You know, one thing I haven't heard is anyone say, you know, oh my God, is that woman all right? And, you know, I don't mean to bash y'all who have called for not saying it yet, but it kind of struck me that I thought that was what I would hear was like, you know, do you know if this person is going to be okay? And actually, she seems to be very strong, and I was just amazed at her story of surviving her ordeal. And apparently she's, you know, slowly trying to put her life together, even though the cops did her the favor of towing the only transportation she had just to get her back for being trans. I'm really furious at the police treatment. If, you know, of course, I have her word for it at this point, and she certainly seemed credible, and that's all I have. But, you know, that's the way it goes with rape victims generally. They don't want to make a big deal of it. They want to get over it, by and large. I know there's a few exceptions. But anyway, I'll go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I just really want to take my hat off to you for your grace under fire in dealing with that very rude caller earlier. And I know you say you do this for fun, but it can't be that much fun. But anyway, just wanted to say thanks for what you do.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And let me see, we have another caller waiting at this point? Okay. Okay, so the BATFE reform wants to reform the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives to protect citizens' rights. Now, why is this a right-wing thing? Because they're remembered for the attack on Waco. And, you know, maybe that's one thing on there that I wouldn't necessarily disagree with, depending on what sort of reform they're talking about. Then there's the permanent tax relief for families, a likely series of votes on child tax credit, marriage penalty relief, tax incentives for adoption, and other priorities for American citizens, in which the Republicans, as they always do, will throw a sop, throw a crumb to the working class, do what they can to wipe out the middle class, and give the farm to the parasite class. Then there's the Disaster Recovery Personal Protection Act. Summary. Prohibits government from using federal funds to confiscate guns from law-abiding citizens during emergencies. And, you know, that's another sop thrown to the NRA. Now, since I've brought up human sexuality issues, I have this article from the Windy City Times. Pentagon, it's by Bob Rohr. Pentagon surveillance of domestic activities is supposed to be illegal, but that hasn't stopped the Department of Defense from carrying out such activity in the name of a war on terror. Its definition apparently includes gays. The latest batch of documents received on June 22nd suggests that the program was more widespread than originally believed. Reports of spying on gays first surfaced in the press last December. They prompted the service members' legal defense network to file a Freedom of Information request in January. The military hemmed and hawed and eventually coughed up documents relating to what had already appeared in print. Among those released in April were reports covering three events at college campuses, including a kiss-in. That's terrorism, if you like. In protest of recruiters at the University of California at Santa Cruz. And a February 3rd, 2005 Talon report conducted by the Shadowy Spy Office focused on an internet posting on the protest of recruiters on campus and at a symposium at a New York University. The term outlaws is not defined in the posting, they say. And the agency is concerned this is a security issue. Specifically, the term outlaws is a backhanded way of saying it's all right to commit possible violence. They said blah, blah, blah. Actually, outlaws, an organization for lesbian, gay, bi, and trans law students, as well as their supporters and friends. Just thought I'd give you a heads up on that. Gays are now terrorists, as far as the Pentagon is concerned. And I hear the jingling bells that tell me that my time is up. And so I thank you for joining me. Stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine with fabulous information here on KBOO Portland. And at 11, we'll be running Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman.
And this is the Thursday Morning Radio Zine. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's gay and lesbian community Yellow Pages, providing a wide array of gay-friendly business listings. For more information, you may call 503-230-7701 or www.pdxgayyellowpages.com. Stay tuned now. Alon Robb interviews sports writer Dave Zirin, author of What's My Name, Fool? Sports and Resistance in the United States. And after that, Andrew Geller speaks with Tom Lutz, author of Doing Nothing, A History of Loafers, Loungers, Slackers, and Bums in America. All that coming up this morning on KBOO, Portland's Thursday Morning Radio Zine.